They entered the port area. Cranes and gantries were lit in the distance. Parked road vehicles, hovers, and even light shuttles lay scattered on either side of the road. The car was just ahead now, following a couple of struggling hover buses up a shallow ramp. Their own hover's engine laboured as they climbed. The red car branched off the main route and followed a long curve of roadway, water glittering darkly on either side. "Are you really Sable?" Hawser asked the white-haired woman, who still didn't turn to him. "Was that you earlier, outside the hall, or not? Is Sable really lots of people?" The people in the car said nothing. Hawser just smiled, watching them carefully, but nodding and smiling to himself. There was silence in the hover, only the wind roaring. The car left the roadway and angled down a fenced boulevard past huge gantries and the lit masses of towering machinery, then sped along a road lined on both sides with dark warehouses. It started to slow by the side of a small dock. "Pull back," Hawser said. The bald-headed woman slowed the hover as the red car cruised by the dockside under the square cages of crane legs. The red car drew up by a brightly lit building. A pattern of lights revolving round the top of the construction spelled out "Sub-Base Access 54" in several languages. "Fine, stop," Hawser said. The hover stopped, sinking on its skirts. "Thanks." Hawser got out, still facing the man and the white-haired woman.
"You're just lucky you didn't try anything," the man said angrily, nodding sharply, his eyes glistening.
"I know," Hawser said. "Bye now." He winked at the white-haired woman. She turned and made what he suspected was an obscene gesture with one finger. The hover rose, blasted forward, then skidded round and roared off the way it had come. Hawser looked back at the subplate shaft entrance, where the three people who had got out of the car stood silhouetted against the light inside. One of them might have looked back down the dock toward Hawser. He wasn't sure they did, but he shrank back into the shadows of the crane above him. Two of the people at the access tube went into the building and disappeared. The third person, who might have been Craiglin, walked off toward the side of the dock. Hawser pocketed the gun again and hurried on underneath another crane. A roaring noise, like the one that Sable's hover had made when it drew away from him, but much louder and deeper, came from inside the dock. Lights and spray filled the sea end of the dock as a huge air cushion vehicle, similar in principle to, but vastly bigger than the hover Hawser had commandeered, swept in from the expanse of black ocean. Lit by starlight, by the glow of the orbital's daylight side arcing overhead, and by the craft's own lights, the billows of spray kicked up into the air with a milky luminescence. The big machine lumbered between the walls of the dock, its engines shrieking. Beyond it, out to sea, Hawser could see another couple of clouds, also lit from inside by flashing lights. Fireworks burst from the leading craft as it came slowly up the dock. Hawser could make out an expanse of windows and what appeared to be people dancing inside. He looked back down the dockside. The man he was following was mounting the steps to a footbridge which crossed high over the dock. Hawser ran quietly, ducking behind the legs of cranes and leaping over lengths of thick hawsers. The lights of the hover flashed on the dark superstructure of the cranes. The scream of the jets and impellers echoed between concrete walls. As though pointing out the comparative crudity of the scene, a small craft, dark and silent but for the tearing noise its passage made through the atmosphere, rushed overhead, zooming and disappearing into the night sky, specking once against the loop of the orbital's daytime surface. Hawser gave it a glance, then watched the figure on the small bridge, lit by the flashing lights of the hover still making its lumbering way up the dock underneath. The second craft was just swinging into position outside the dock to follow it. Hawser came to the steps leading to the walkway of the narrow suspension bridge. The man, who walked like Craiglin and wore a grey cloak, was about halfway across. Hawser couldn't see much of what the terrain was like on the other side of the dock, but guessed he stood a good chance of losing his quarry if he let him get to the other side before he started after him. Probably the man, Craiglin, if it was him, had worked this out. Hawser guessed he knew he was being followed. He set off across the bridge. It swayed slightly underneath him. The noise and lights of the giant hovercraft were almost underneath, the air filled with swirling dark spray kicked up from the shallow water in the dock. The man didn't look round at Hawser, though he must have felt Hawser's footsteps swinging the bridge with his own. The figure left the bridge at the far end. Hawser lost sight of him and started running, the gun out in front of him, the air cushion vehicle beneath, blasting gusts of spray-soaked air about him, soaking him. Loud music blared from the craft, audible even through the scream of the engines.
Hawser skidded along the bridge at its end and ran quickly down the spiral steps to the dockside. Something sailed out of the darkness under the spiral of steps and crashed into his face. Immediately afterwards, something slammed into his back and the rear of his skull. He lay on something hard, groggily wondering what had happened, while lights swept over him. The air in his ears roared and roared, and music played somewhere. A bright light shone straight into his eyes, and the hood over his face was thrown back. He heard a gasp. The gasp of a man tearing a hood away from a face, only to see his own face staring back at him.